Believe you are anything. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Believe you are anything. I read a story about a man who had amnesia, and he didn't remember who he was. Now, his family about him and his world about him, they remembered who he was. He was a successful businessman. He was a happy father. He was a devoted husband. He was a person who was active in his community. He just was a good guy. And he had no recollection of anything. So he started just believing that he was anything. His family told him, he's a nice guy. And they treated him as though they were going to be treated by a nice guy. And he treated them that way. He treated them that way because that's the way they expected it. Now, he didn't know he was a nice guy. He only was told that. He didn't feel that he was a nice guy or not a nice guy. He just was blank. He was coming out of amnesia without any remembrance of anything about his past, his present, or his future, any goals he'd put in motion, anything that he'd planned to do. But the world about him knew who he was. And so they treated him as though he were what he was. And because they treated him as though he were what he was what he were. He acted according to those precepts that his family and his world gave to him. And his family and his world gave these precepts to him because this was what they had previously experienced with him. Now, he was not immediately all 100% of what he had been in the past. But very quickly, he stepped into the shoes of the being that he had been, and he became that person. But he had an experience that was a little unique for the rest of the world. He was stepping into shoes that already existed, but he had no recollection of the past. He had no recollection of what goals he had set for himself. He had no recollection of anything except just to do and be what his world expected him to be. Now, because he had no recollection of past or present or future, he did everything out of whatever was the essence of his being. Whatever was the belief of his being. Now, because his family expected him to be a fine, beautiful person, that's what he had been, because his associates, his work, his world, expected him to be a dedicated soul, he enunciated those things in his life. And he enunciated them very, very well. And he became all that his family ever expected him to be, and much more. And we might ask ourselves, why did he become much more? Well, he became much more because he had no limitations in his mind about himself. He had no unfulfilled desires in his mind. He had no unfulfilled expectations in his mind of who he was and what he was and where he had been and what he had done and the things that he had done in his life. He did not remember any of the mistakes that he made. He didn't remember any of the struggles that he had made. Everything now was just one wonderful success. He believed who he was told that he was. When you believe in anything. When you believe you are anything, then you begin to live from that precept. Now, the precept doesn't have to be a fact, because you may have been living two lives before. One life, the respectable businessman, and the other life, a not respectable business person. A person who is out cheating and stealing and lying and doing unkind things, but unknown to the public, or unknown to your family, or unknown to anyone else. Now, it was unknown to yourself. But anything that was contrary to what your family expected of you, or what your world expected of you, you didn't have any idea of doing that in your mind. And the nefarious things that you had been active in before fell by the way because you did not give them attention. And all the fine and decent and beautiful and uplifting things that were your public nature, you continued to express, you continued to live, you continued to be, because this was what you were told that you are. Now, we don't have amnesia, and we may never have amnesia, although we can have amnesia quite easily, Alzheimer's, and a few other things that set in. But what is amnesia? Amnesia is taking away all the past, all the future, all the expectations, all the things, and just leaving the pure, unadulterated being behind. The pure, unadulterated being who had habits, who had techniques of doing things, who had mores, who had values. And this person now is living only according to the values that were and are indwelling in his consciousness. And so as he does this, he lives a pure and vital life. He lives an uplifting life. He lives a life that does not know non-belief. Because he's told that this is who he is, that's what he believes. At any point in our life, we can shift gears, and we can forget the past, forget the future, forget everything, and move into a new realm. Now, this is an easy one to consider. You come home after work, and in the mail you find an envelope, and it says you've just won $30 million. And you say, wow, isn't that great? And then they deliver the $30 million to you, tax-free, to do anything you want. So, instead of thinking that you are responsible to go back to your job, to go on with your work, to go in with everything, you think, now my responsibility is to enjoy $30 million. What is it I would like to do with $30 million? What do I feel would make me happy? And you could indeed make a 360-degree change, 180-degree change in your personality, not in whether you're a nice person or a bad person, but in your choices. Before, you saved your money, and you put it out wisely, and you paid your bills as you went along, and now you don't really have to be too concerned about bills as long as you live within your $30 million limit, and you perhaps invest some of that so that it'll be there around for a long time. So, you do think differently. You do not think about your job because you probably leave it. You think about your family because you like to share with them this largesse that has come upon you. But your whole world is topsy-turvy compared to the balanced person that you had been before in doing a job and having a family and so forth. Now you look at things quite differently. You could also become very ill, and you're in the hospital, and you are unable to fend for yourself, you're unable to care for yourself, and you have hospital bills, you have all sorts of problems, your family has to make visitations to the hospital to visit you, you have all, your whole modus operandi of your life has changed because of an illness. You didn't expect this illness. You didn't expect it at all, but you believe that you're ill. And then the doctor comes along and says, okay, your illness is mostly mental, and so let's put a new mental cause in motion that you're whole and perfect, and that you are living in your ideal spirit, mind, and body, and that you're fantastic, and let's give that a whirl. And you say, wow, that's nice. Now, if the doctor says, let's give it a whirl, you think, well, they're merely trying to mollycoddle you into thinking something that's not so. But if the doctor says, with a straight face, you don't need any hospitalization anymore, you don't need any of these things, the appearances that you've been having, they are fading away now, and you are back to your normal person right now. If you believe that, if you went into your consciousness with that frame of reference from a responsible authority who says that you are whole and perfect now, could you be whole and perfect? It happens all the time. It happens all the time. Most doctors don't give that sort of prognosis because most patients are not able to believe it and enjoy it. They say, oh, come on now. Oh, hey, that's too good to be true. If it's too good to be true, then it's probably not true. And it's not true. And you see, right away, our tendency is to belittle it and to make it worthless for us. But when we can and do, and this is what we do most of our life, when we can believe you are anything, when I can believe that I'm anything, I can accomplish it. I heard a fellow give a talk on stocks last 2 days, and a very remarkable young man, name is Mark, just like my son, and he got up there, and he had a mic on his chest, and he wore the little connection on the back, and he spoke. And he spoke for 8 to 10 hours each of these 2 days. And he does it all the time. And he spoke without notes. He spoke vitally. He spoke about facts and figures and information. And it was all correct because it was from his outline that he had prepared. And the outline was what he gave to the audience. And he spoke. And he spoke. And he spoke with enthusiasm. And he spoke with illustrations. And he spoke with diversity of attitude and diversity of information. And all of the people were sitting spellbound as he was presenting these informational facts on a most boring subject of stocks and bonds. But he made them all come alive. He showed how they functioned and how anyone being active in stocks and bonds and investing in their own money could have a basically secure way of doing it, but it took attention. It took 100% attention of saying, I know that I know that I know this works. And if I apply the principle, as he said time after time after time, if I apply the principle, I will get the results. I think to myself as I listen to such an enthusiastic, confident young person, he was just 40, when I hear that, I think to myself, why don't you just go out and invest and reinvest and reinvest and reinvest? Well, the fact is, he is doing that. But in his heart, he's a teacher. In his heart, he's a sharer. In his heart, the joy of life is not so much in having the Warren Buffett's billions, the Bill Gates' billions, but the joy in his life is to share with others how they can have this money if they want it, how they can take their own monies, large and small, and invest it and have it come forth. But it takes a lot of credulity in an individual to believe that they can do anything. And yet he shows it in measure after measure after measure. And he shows certain patterns that are there continuously revealing themselves. He shows people who have done it and how they have done it. He shows what can be done by anyone if you really want to do it. But he said, you have to change your attitude. You have to change your thought about yourself. You have to change your way of thinking. You have to become anonymous. You have to become as though you had never lived before. You never had these experiences before. You are now brand new on this program. You have amnesia to the past. And you have a vital, dynamic, glowing interest in the now, in this moment, in what's going on in the field. Now, as we were talking, and as he was revealing these things to us, Japan had just undergone a tremendous earthquake, and the Tsamas were sweeping through the lands there, the lowlands, and washing entire cities out to sea, and it was quite a dramatic and amazing thing. And he pointed out how Japan buys more than 10% of all the things that are sold in the United States, and that they are active in the market in that respect, and we were going to enjoy something, a totally different situation. Well, now, the inference was that we would be hurt by this, that the unhappiness in Japan and the activity of the volcanoes and the earthquakes and the tsunamis, those things were going to have an impact on us, and of course they will. But can we reach out ourselves with our goodness and bless them? And bless them, reaching out regardless whether they're a rich nation or not, and help them. Can we reach out to all the nations in the world and help them? Now, it's not a matter of giving them fish, while that is truly important, but it's teaching them how to fish. It's teaching them to believe they can do anything, and they know it. But do you believe that they can do anything? If you believe it, then you will do anything, and you can. Everyone on the face of the earth has the ability to go through ups and downs, to go through the 9/11s, to go through the terrorist attacks, to go through the circumstances. But if in the process of going through such a thing, all you have done is tightened up your protection of yourself, then instead of reaching out to the new avenues, the new venues that are open to you because of the change in conditions, the terrorists and 9/11 opened up new ways of thinking. And if we just only protect ourselves, then the terrorists have done their damage. If Japan just tightens up its protection of keeping these things from happening again, it will not grow. For the thousands of years that Japan has lived and dwelt and not had the experience that it had this time, it's a one-time, or maybe it's a many-time. Maybe it's in a progress along the fire line there of the Pacific. Maybe it's in that activity, or maybe not. If we go living our life on the basis of the terrorists or on the basis of some catastrophic activity that's going to happen to the land or to the world and to the country, we will never move forward. We'll never reclaim the land that has now been changed by the waves and the ocean. And we must do that. We must reclaim whatever we're doing, because that's what life is all about. That's what the world is all about. It's living in the now. We reach out and we bless these people who are suffering this experience, and we give them our love. We give them our blessings. We give them our Red Cross packages. We give them all of the things that can be a help to them, as they would do to us should our need have been there. This is what we do all around the world. That's why we know what we can do. We believe we are anything. We reach out and touch the world. Oh, there'll be all sorts of calamities, all sorts of circumstances that'll happen from time to time. But if we go through each of these circumstances, recognizing that we are the master, recognizing that this too shall pass, recognizing that these are circumstances that life will bring to us, and as we stand strong and true and vigorous, wonderful things shall happen. Now, the tendency for humanity is to look at the unhappy circumstances and to follow them in the news and to read after them and to say how terrible that is. And I would recommend, from our reality of who we really are, that rather than looking at the news broadcast and rather than being part of the problem, we instead turn to that center of peace within each one of us, and we say to the center of peace, all is in divine order now. You say, well, what's happened? That's not divine order. How do you know it's not divine order? We don't say that it's right or wrong, but we do say, here we are, and now all is in divine order. All is in balance. All is in peace. All is in harmony. All the world is reaching out to the Japanese communities. All the world is reaching out in love and joy. All the world is sending help to this nation as they're going through this very difficult situation. But all the world says, this too shall pass, and we are here. We are here as your friend. We are here as your neighbor. We are here as your fellow man. We are here in love, in delight, in respect, and honor. We are here for you. Not to be bereaved with you, not to grieve with you, not to be unhappy with you, but to say, come on, lift up your head now and let's go forward. What has happened and what has taken place is done now. Now let's move on. Let's clear the way. The United States had it in New Orleans. A number of other things happened here and there. It's not something unique to any one place in the world, but it is unique to that place when it happens that the rest of the world reaches out and says, peace, peace, peace. And as we give the troubled places of the world our peace, and we say, all is in divine order now, and we mean it. Whatever is to be the golden thread, the perfect path that is to come out of this experience, will be found, will be enjoyed, and perhaps the greatest gift that will come out of this, the greatest blessing will be that all the nations of the world reach out in caring love when another nation is suffering a difficult time. Do you reach out to your neighbor? Do you reach out to your friend? Do you reach out to your relatives? Do you reach out to life? Do you reach out to your child or your spouse when they're going through a difficult time? Changing jobs or changing relationships or whatever, and you say, all is in divine order. This too shall pass. And what shall remain is the unconditional love that everyone shares with everyone else all the time. That's the kind of world I live in. That's the kind of world that I believe and I see and I know all the time. I believe I am anything. I believe whatever I wish to be, I am. I don't need amnesia put me through it, or Alzheimer's, or any of these things. All I need, if I need anything, is to be myself and have fun and love the world and love everyone in it, now and always. Know that I love you. I love you. I love you.